from PRX.
Friends beyond binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, role players everywhere. Whether you're running the game or you're playing the game, or you're on, you know, whether you consider yourself an adventurer or adventure adjacent, and you say that doesn't even make any, I say, are you sure it doesn't make any sense? I'm adjacent to an adventure. You'd say, what's the town next to Phandalin called? That's not an, like you say, that's, you know, what's the trail next to Tribor Trail? You know, what's the, I think there actually is adventures south of the Sword Coast, but just off, what are those islands called just off the Sword Coast that aren't involved in any adventures? Those are the adventure adjacent isles. So if this doesn't make any sense to you, probably means you're in the right place because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast. It's here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff and put you to sleep. Like talk about, I've forgotten more realms than have existed. So I'm so glad you're here. It's time for Sleep With Me. The show does not make a lot of sense. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night and help you fall asleep because you deserve a good night's sleep. What we got coming up here is support. That's how the show's free for everybody that wants it to be free for them. And then there's a long meandering intro. If you don't like the idea of the support for the show, don't miss out on the intro because the intro is a show within the show meant to ease you into bedtime. And then there'll be like our journey into the world of friends designing and playing or kind of friends in the friendship of adventure while creating adventure for a role-playing game. But the role I'll be playing is your friend in the deep, dark night here to take your mind off of stuff and keep you company. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for coming by. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it can be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now. And the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. This is one part of the podcast where I get loud. It's because I love making this show, and it's listeners like you that make it possible for me to be here, and the team of people that work so hard on this podcast to be here on a regular basis. And I want to thank Ruby. Now, Ruby's not in a position to support the show financially, but Ruby set an alarm to spread the word about the podcast. Said, hey, I love Sleep With Me. It means so much to me. I want to let other people know about it. But, you know, it's not always easy to remember that tomorrow. So, send a reminder right now, like Ruby did. Hey, I want to support the show financially. Hey, I want to support one of the sponsors, or hey, I want to spread the word about the podcast. And I want to let Scoots know, because I want to hear my name, like Ruby's, on the podcast, because I love it too. I know Scoots loves making it. The show's here to make me feel less alone in the deep, dark night. I listen to it every single night, and I want to do something to make sure it's there for other people, that other people know about it too. So, if you do, let me know about it. SleepWithMePodcast.com/sponsors. Just use the form there like Ruby did and let me know so I can say thank you for spreading the word like Ruby. Next part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, you need extra resources, there's links in our show notes, including international resources. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but taking action and learning more and then taking action. So there's links to resources where you could do that in our show notes. You know, we're supporting hygiene kits and the Amazon wish list and financial support for the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles. You could support the Trevor Project through Orlando Park Stop fundraisers link. Those are both in our show notes. So please take some action. You'll feel great about it because you'll be a part of these communities we're all a part of. Mystery Bart, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bart.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna, like Banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thank Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, get your sleep phones, Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. Most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Use Sleep With Me to get $5 off your order. Thanks, everybody. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble, getting to sleep, trouble, staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be something, your thoughts that you're thinking about, thoughts about the past, the present, the future. Thoughts about, you know, thoughts about nothing and, like, thoughts about making love out of nothing at all. I don't know, that just popped, I had a thought about that, so I shared it with you. But, like, I don't know why, I mean, I don't know why my brain thought of that. I said thoughts about nothing, and my brain said, well, I have thoughts about nothing at all. And I'd say, I thought you had thoughts about making love out of nothing at all. And, then some part of my brain snickered and laughed and said, why don't you keep your hobbies to yourself, Scoots? And I say, okay, thank you for yet another humbling moment with my thoughts. It could be feelings, anything coming up for you emotionally, like related to the thoughts or feelings or emotions that are left over from the day or that are just there. It could be physical sensations. It could be changes in time, temperature, routine, work schedule. You could be going through something. You could have something coming up, or you could be going somewhere or have someone coming to visit. Whatever it is, I'm here to take your mind off stuff and keep you company so you can fall asleep and to let you know you're not alone in the deep, dark night. That's why I go through a list of stuff. I don't go through a litany of lists, though. Once again, anytime the word litany of lists comes up, another song comes up, which I still never definitively remember if it was. These are 80s songs, I think. There was a song by Hall & Oates, but I'm still not sure. Is it A Kiss on My Lips or A Kiss on My List? It's List because it's of the best things in life. It wouldn't make any sense. I probably figured this out in another intro, but I just figured, I remember I asked my daughter and she looked at me the same way you may be looking at me now. And I'm not making this up, true story. And I wasn't doing a bit. I said, I forget again. Is it Kiss on Their Lips or on Their List? And she said, like, as my brain repeats it, Their List, Dad, on the list. It's List. And maybe she even went on to say, because you couldn't, a kiss couldn't be on your lips of the best things in life. That sounds like something AI would say. I think something AI would say, though, would be kissing. Are we talking about kissing? That was a joke. But so it is a list of the best things in life. And maybe I'll remember from now on because I say, oh, okay. Like, it would be, like, it's kind of like, these are a few of my favorite things. You wouldn't say, I mean, I don't know why I'm relating it back to that, but that's like a list of favorite things. Is there anything else listed in the song Kisses on My Lips of the best things? What are the other best things in life? That's a real question. I mean, Hall & Oates, I don't know if I'd, like, if I was making a list right now, I'd make it because that's top of mind. But I'd put like, I'd say whose kiss question mark, Hall & Oates question mark, and then you know I'd probably try. Then you know who here? If you listen to Sleep With Me, you probably could relate to this fact that if I had to make a list of the best things in life, it would be performative. I'm not kidding. And like with crushing performance pressure, like I'd have to say, is anyone else, are you going to watch me make this list? And they'd say, this is a thought experiment. Correct. What are the chances someone's going to read this list? And will they know it was me that wrote it? I don't know. I can't say what's okay, because that's two different lists then. Unfortunately, I mean, I wish that would be first on my list. I wish I was the kind of person whose list of the best things in life didn't matter if someone was reading the list or watching them list the list. But unfortunately, the person who I am, I would probably make two different lists. And mine would be, that would be, I mean, that'd be the honest, say, could you give me 4 or 5 millennium to come up with that list? Because right now I have Who's Kiss. And then, well, then I put in parentheses, a kiss would be nice, though, for real. But, I, you know, maybe I need to do more kissing to determine if what if that kiss is the best thing, one of the best things in life. And, okay, Hall & Oates is on there. And then, but now I can't stop thinking about you watching me making this list of the best things in life. Or me squirreling it away and then someone finding it, or like it, what really would happen is I wouldn't do it on a piece of proper paper. I'd make the list on multiple post-its that would become scattered around places I've been, maybe stuck to my bottom. Okay, let me add a third thing. Post-its, I don't want to forget anything. And they say, you don't have post-its on the best, like, and I say, no, I mean, I don't know if I put post-its on either list. This is just my list. Just so you know, like if someone found it, what if that's like a rom-com, right? I mean, this is a pretty long tangent to go on, but that's what would happen in my rom-com. I'd say, no. That was just like a list, a brainstorming list for my list of the best things in life. They'd say, you put Who's Kiss on there? And I'd say, like, No. Again, that was when I was. It was Hall & Oates. Who in? They'd say, "Who is even Hall & Oates?" And I'd say, "Well, like." And they'd say, "Is Post-its your number three thing of the best things in life?" How many question marks are I? And I'd say, "This doesn't sound like a rom-com to me." I mean, if it was a fan of The Who, but they said Who's Kiss, but maybe I miswrote it. And so maybe there's another part of the rom-com where somebody else finds the list and we fall like they fall. But I say, I mean, that would be pretty, this is starting to sound rom-com-y. They're a big Who fan of The Who. And they say, holy cow, it's at the top of my list too. And I say, who's at the top of your list? That was accidental. We walked right into a old vaudeville joke there. But I'd say, who's at the top of your list? But they would say, who? Yeah, The Who is at the top of my list. I say, oh, The Who? I thought, and then this other person, maybe it would be that, and then somebody else would say, like, who's, like, from Whoville? And then you got, that's like a component of a rom-com there. You got a little love triangle going, but it would all be, maybe it could be like one of those body swap movies too, to overcomplicate it. And you'd say, is part of your list of the best things in life on your bottom? And I'd say, maybe, because when I put down post-its, I meant those super, the industrial post-its that I've bought. Okay, I'm sorry, though. I'm trying to introduce a sleep podcast to new listeners. I was trying to say, I don't even know how I don't know where I want to. I mean, I was just at the beginning of the intro. That was a serious meander. Oh, like whatever's keeping you awake, you're not alone. That was my main message. That's the most important part of the show you'll hear. And I just like had 9 minutes of accidental filler. And, but it was, you know, that's part of what works about the show. Pointless meanders and superfluous tangents as I send my voice across the deep, dark night. And the goal of the show is twofold, or the whatever the reasons for the show. I don't know. So that, now I better put that on my list. Goals? Is your list of the best things in life a question-based list? I'd say, yeah. I mean, that'd probably be the wisest thing I ever did. Say, this list, I'm fine. I'm checking them twice. Gonna find out if this is best things in life listy or not. You know, not as nice. You know, or just on the list of my favorite things. Also, I'm having a now I found that I'm in this rom-com. I'm going to need multiple performative lists. Because then what would happen in the movie is they'd write fake lists to make the person not love them, creating even more complications. Maybe there's some sort of espionage thing. Like maybe they work for some sort of super advanced post-it factory. And those are the post-its with the secret ingredients. I don't know. But I don't know. That's what I make the show. I do know a couple of things, though. You deserve a good night's sleep. Really, you do. You deserve a place you could rest, where you could get the sleep you need, where your life is more manageable. Because everybody deserves that. A bedtime you don't have to dread. That's what we're all looking for. I mean, a lot of people that listen to this show, that's what I was looking for. I didn't want to feel so lonely and hopeless in the deep, dark night. And I just wanted to get to sleep. And so that's kind of what led me to make this show. So if you don't like the show, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou has other sleep podcasts and sleep stuff on there because you still deserve a good night's sleep. And the thing about being alone, I know this is a podcast. People not perfect, but I can be here digitally for you. But the thing is that it's not just me. There's hundreds of thousands of people who listen to the show who have been through it, who have been tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. And they know how it feels. That's why they come back and listen to the show again, or they share about the podcast, or they support the podcast, because they know how it feels in the deep, dark night. They know you deserve a good night's sleep, and a lot of them can probably relate to what you're going through, whatever's keeping you up. And that's what I mean when you're not alone. And, you know, like, it doesn't, like, this is its own multiverse in some sense. Like, even if you're listening and someone else is listening 5 minutes from now, and someone else listening 5 years from now, we're connected, really. So let's see what else happens. Like semi-voice across the deep dark night, I use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, all to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. This is a podcast you don't really listen to. You just kind of listen to it out of focus. Clearly, I mean, you just saw whatever happened for 8 minutes. I tumbled down a meander hole and, It was enjoyable. It didn't go anywhere, but it didn't go nowhere either. So it's a podcast you could, some people listen to me in a mumble, but some people are listening. I don't know. So you could kind of figure it out as you go along, because this show isn't here to put you to sleep. It's here to keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff, to be your friend in the deep, dark night, your boyfriend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your neighbor. Your boar, what did it, boar be? That's a new one. I think I listened to another intro where I said some other word, like, but boar be's sticking. I think it was like boar bear? Boar bear? I don't know. Boar be's good, though. And I'm just here to keep you company. And if you're skeptical or doubtful, like most people don't like this show when they first get here. It doesn't work for them right away. Because you probably tried a ton of different stuff and it's been frustrating. You probably spent a lot of money. And you probably have an expectation that a sleep podcast that's been around for over 10 years or so has would follow some sort of traditional format and not talk about a rom-com based on lists, based on like you accidentally going on two different tangents about 80s songs. So just see how it goes. That's what most regular listeners, most people that pay for the podcast, that support it, that have supported it for years, or support the sponsors, those are the people I hear from the most. And they say, you know, I didn't like the show at first, or I didn't get it. It took me a while to realize, oh, yeah, you just kind of barely listen, like a friend that's rambling on and on and on. So that's... Yeah, I mean, structure the show throws people off. Yeah, I think that's the other thing I don't want. Like, so the show starts off with a greeting, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So if you feel seen and welcome, you say, I could check this show out. Then there's support. So the show could be free because there's a lot of people who aren't in a position to support the podcast and benefit it from benefit that it's there for them whenever they need it. And that there's like about 600 free shows you could listen to at any time. So you could listen to your, pick your favorites and stuff. The support allows that. And the people that support the companies that support the show. Then there's a long meandering intro. And for some reason, if people don't like the support, they lump the intro in with it. And I don't want you to miss out on the intro. I guess you're already listening to it. But for next time, the intro is a show within a show. But it's not so much here to put you to sleep, just like the podcast isn't here to put you to sleep. The intro is meant to ease you into bedtime. And I just heard from someone named Matt, Matt M., who started supporting the podcast, who said, hey, at first I skipped the beginning of the show. And then I realized having a bedtime routine is what really works. And that's true. And so some listeners are getting ready for bed. Some are in bed getting comfortable. But a lot of listeners are doing some sort of other chill wind down activity. Like that's just what's work like whatever it is to ease you into bedtime. And then after the intro is some support, and then there'll be our bedtime story, our episodically modular series. You could listen to it in any order. Journey into the World of Friends, about friendship and gameplay and adventure. And it's a really nice one. So I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you checking the podcast out. Give it a few tries, see how it goes. But I really hope, you know, and I'm not looking, you know, performatively. I mean, here's the thing. If you relate to having that idea, I mean, that's like what's another thing that unites us in the deep, dark night. Not everybody who's listening is going to realize that or have shared that thing. But there's a lot of people listening who have that relationship with the world. You say, you're right. I would have. I mean, especially if it was at school, I'd say, what are the parameters? I mean, I wouldn't because I wasn't a good student, but I'm projecting onto a good student. They'd say, what are the parameters of this, best things in life? I'd be thinking about if the person I had a crush with, I'd try to design my list for them. Or like if I, like in a similar way to a crush, I've had some sort of mentor situation or some like authority figure I was trying to impress. Which usually I didn't have that relationship like at school, but like I'd say, okay, like I'd use my list of the best things in life to get what I thought were the best things in life, which in rom-com fashion would turn out not to be what I really want, what I really wanted or needed. And I don't know what it would be you know, that's just the, what would happen. I mean, that's just what happens with me. I mean, I'm a performative list maker even when alone. I mean, I'm not a high performing performative list maker either. I'm a low performer. Say, okay, this is why we procrastinate. People say, why do you procrastinate? Well, do you have like 2 or 3 hours during the intro of a sleep podcast for me to explain to you? They say, well, golly, I just made 12 lists of the best things in life, ran out of paper. That's why I'm at the store, sir. What are you doing? Huh, funny. That's funny because I just ran out of paper I was brainstorming lists of the best things in life that I didn't believe in, believe it or not. They'd say, you're hired. That was a test. You know, I say, oh, okay. You thought this was a rom-com, but now it's turned into something different. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. Like, I'm sorry if you identify with like those things, but you're not alone. If you have a need to performatively make lists, in case other people, you feel like other people are going to read them and judge them, I do too. And I don't feel bad. Like, I laugh about it now because I know I'm not alone. So, and you've enabled me to do that. So thank you. And thanks for listening to the show. I work really hard to earn an extra driver. Really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's the ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, Scoots here. It's time for our episodically modular series, Journey into the World of Friends. And don't worry, the characters, it's a group of characters playing a game together. They're actually designing a role-playing adventure, and they're kind of playing it at the same time. And they're in the midst of an adventure of friendship on top of it. So a lot of adventuring going on. And yeah, a lot going on. So it's, but talk about the world of friendship. I have a friend, and that friend's name is Mr. Antonio Banderas. The friends behind the binary. So, ladies and gentlemen, so boys and girls, it's time for a journey into the world of friends. Whoopee. Scooter, I noticed, you know, we're friends, but you didn't make any friendly, pokes at my driving, my charm, my wits. You didn't plug my movie, but that's fine. No movie plug. Yeah. All right, that's Journey in the World of Friends. Make sure to check out all of Antonio. Go on Antonio's IMDb page. And then sign, you know, if you're in a position to do so, what I think it'd be best if they like physical media, you know, if you want to talk about physical media, that's the first thing that enters my mind is Antonio, because I'd say you're one chunk or hunky chunk of physical media. And this is Journey into the World of Friends. All right, everybody, this is Granada of Darmok, Granada of Darmok. Okay, so everybody come in, please. Let's get right into story mode and character mode, please. I know everyone is not feeling overjoyed. You know, this indoors lifestyle, home lifestyle, I know. But we're going to deal with it as characters and in-game right now. And I'm going to start out. Don't worry. I could see by those furrowed brows how you're feeling about me and my ideas, and that's fine. But as characters, I can see why you feel that way, too. because we've been camping outside of this train station together for a while now, waiting for that full moon or whatever it was to find that mechanical being or the spiritual of a mechanical being that we could meet with to get guidance as characters. We've been camping together in this incredibly boring place. Not a lot of people here. And, it's not been easy. I mean, but, I'll start because sharing a tent with Lord Von Chill and being a new member of this party, even though the character, you know, being a new version of the mem, you know, being a new, feeling new, has me, frowny faced and, trusted of frust upon me, you know, not feeling welcome necessarily, but without pointing the fingers of my sweet leather gloves. Go ahead, Lord Von Chill, obviously. Yes, I'm Lord Von Chill, and I am tated of ire. Tated of ire. The field of tated ires. And I'm also tall of skeptic. Am I towering over my field of taters of ire. Tall of skeptic about this adventure that we're sharing together as a group and as individuals and as a smaller individual, like a coupling or non-couple, you know, I feel like I've been excited about this adventure. Could it be as free and okay as it feels, or once again, I find myself tated of ire. Go ahead, Zell. You seem to be, yes, I'm Zell, thank you. I'm V of N, and loose of gel, at this shine and joy and freedom and imperfection. And that's all, yeah. Yeah, that's where I am. I'm Eleanor, of the Free Florences, and I'm Grievang. Grievang. Maybe a little, because to stay at the Three Florences, a little Leavang. And maybe a Grievang, because there's no snacks, because why are there no snacks? I think because there's no snack rations given out. I don't understand the third odd, but anyway, that's fine. So, yeah, I'm those Grees and of Angs. Mwada here. I'm up of Fed. It dumps in the down and less of power about all this right now. Okay, Granada of Darmok here, since I'm leading today. You know, this is what happens. Underneath the surface of all adventures. And I think it's important for us to remember that, this is what, you know, the adventure only takes place above the, you know, this is, below the below, but let's go to let's run through what happened last week. I do have notes, from last time Eleanor led, and we talked about choosing sides. Was there going to be three sides? You know, the Baron of the Boyle, the Park, and Vendul. Then we worked on some development of Vendul, who will be our rival or our could be our challenger. We talked about motivations as a party and motivations as individuals. And I think thinking about that in a free-form way for future adventurers through the Sultana, the Oracle machine that also is magic, and the child being or this ride-based being, and what each of those tying into practical needs and wants versus, you know, versus some of the things that might run under those. Now, like maybe one of those could be unlimited snack rations. Maybe they're potato-based. It's funny. We talked about being the backup for the Baron of the Boyle, Leader X, What are their motivations? It's interesting, too, the Leader X thing. It reminds me of other adventures I've been on. Sometimes someone appears early in the adventure you think is going to be important, and they're not. We talked about how there's the water, like there's something going on that we probably can observe that Venduul is using ride beings or what maybe mechanical beings at first we think, or some sort of force to do what we thought was trying to control the locks and the wave-based power systems and the water, but really what they're trying to do is drain some of these waters because the water is a cork on top of this portal to another world. Venduul the Green, we must witness when Venduul casts this powerful spell to oppose the Baron's forces. We went through some brainstorming about no bad ideas. We also covered the Poliwogs, our first adventure. And again, a lot of freeform. People could rush through it in a quick way and just look at battling, or, if there was a DM that wanted to hold some sort of short trial, or if the characters were more interested in getting away, or, building towards solutions and communicating. I don't think we quite got down to what would happen next, the solution to all that, but we'll do a little bit more reviewing. Toy labor, Venduul. What else do we need? Overall story, we have to start looking at the ending. Locking in Venduul, Venduul's level. These were kind of open-ended questions. I don't think we need to close at this moment. What is the arc of the Poliwogs? Because again, so are we trying to unite these two groups of Poliwogs? Or just what's holding the Poliwogs from telling on us? Or what are we offering them other than the fact that these other, other than the communication? Do we even need to answer those questions, or could the DM be the one answering those? And let's see. Look, these are other things that may have come up towards the end of our session. What if the mechanical child, specific quests or emotional quests, is Venduul actually the offspring of some sort of, or being convinced they're the offspring of some sort of dragon friend that's not a friend at all? A goal lined with the emotional needs of each member of the party as a whole. Magical cards. So that we covered. Full moon. That's what we waited for while we were so frustrated. Disappears if you approach, you listen into it. We know these are specifics, but again, I guess we're going through this adventure together now. And we'll figure out the specifics. Maybe something also specific about the beings in this ride, that the mechanical child being, and maybe that they're being changed and discarded. So a little bit more backstory, but in the forms of clues and not clarity. But that they're almost like working on a schedule and they're able to go home after work. Is this mechanical child actually a magic use? I didn't return to this on my research this week, but is it a guest, a wizard? Is it a part of the ride that learned how to use magic or has a magic staff? Okay, we didn't do one of the goals we had this week was about looking at the iterations of this ride and some of the undercurrent of the ride in the history, which we were unable to do that because of, we also didn't have access. Eleanor, do you want to talk about? Yeah, this is Eleanor. So we did want to talk about these ideas of, you know, from the earlier time that at one point this, like, this attraction has gone through different iterations, kind of reflective of the culture abroad. It was U.S. kind of focused at first, even though it was considered an international ride. And based on, like in the music and the ride has changed, but it's always been like, anthropomorphized animal toys, and they've kind of changed. And there was also this Kauai period. And, I think that is important thematically to think about that as like, again, a subtle form, because even though this was a giant company, the people that worked for the company tended to be of the rebellious nature, and so they wanted to weave subtle acts of rebellion in and progressive values into the ride, even if it was in an undertone. And when they refurbed the ride in that style with the J-pop soundtrack and those things, I think that was guiding some of that, like a similar to, but we didn't get to really research that, because I wanted to, I know it was originally, I think, a student movement or, so yeah, but it was always associated with kind of a pop culture, but before it was pop culture. And then again, it went through like only the music, then the soundtrack has combined, as far as we could tell, three eras of music. And one, I'm using quotes of like a J-pop soundtrack and then a K-pop soundtrack before, at the towards the end of the, like, the earlier times. And do you want me to keep continuing? I mean, looking at the first room, and when we encounter the first room, what would be in there? Because it was supposed to be, like this idealized toy version of Europe. And everybody says, well, that's great. You put it like, but so what we decided to focus on, like Zell, do you want to take in? Yeah. So, I mean, I think an important thing, and I don't know if we talked about this last week, but, with No Bad Ideas, I think it came out of that, the good parts of the No Bad Ideas, that this would be a, okay, like, I feel like we, like, have to picture this, right? So we never came out of specifics, but, well, we kind of got to the idea that the Pollywog said, oh, yeah, we have that room blocked. There is the first room of the ride, but what's blocked off? We're keeping them in, not us out, but also the idea that the Pollywogs are territorial and that they just wanted to live in their little world. And that was kind of the thing of the duel. And thematically, that kind of transfers to the next room, is that the next room, they are also territorial. And so they're happy that that there's not access between the two areas and that they don't exist within one another. And that as we sneak into the ride, probably through like going, like, I don't know, like, I think that the idea, at least the setup would be that, the ideal way to go into the ride, if we were doing it, what I would recommend is not to like charge into the room, but to like sneak in the room and listen. And I think that's, you know, we'd use Granada of Darmok to listen. And we'd use all our, whatever our areas of strength are, to find out as much as we could and progress as slowly as possible. Though obviously whoever's running the game that we're creating, they could determine things a little bit differently. But that we would observe that, yeah, one, well, we never decided, is the canal filled in this room? I kind of think it should be. Maybe it should be in every room. I think we had gone back and forth about that, and that maybe that's how we access it, and that these mechanical beings, they cannot get wet. or they can't go in water. I mean, maybe they like, so that somehow we're going under the water, but that we want to sneak into the ride. At least if we were doing it, I think we'd all agree on that. And that we would hide and observe. And I think out of the no bad ideas, does anybody want to take it of what we're observing and what we're seeing? Or Lord Von Chill, Wada, anyone? Well, Lord Von Chill here. So I could go over the, again, what history we were able to gather. But again, it's a fiction anyway. Is that, there was very representative architecture of famous tourist areas. So you had like a Big Ben, castles, rainbow with a gold pot of gold, windmills, a few different stages for dancing and performing music, mountains, Eiffel Tower, like a lot of iconic pieces of architecture or of landscape. Also stuff in the sky, suns and kites, and then also another thing was giant clocks. And I know we have other things, but what we would observe is, now we weren't sure about this and it developed as the week went on, but that what we start to observe is that when we're struck by what great condition this room and the characters are in, the friends. So we're referring to them as friends. Thank you. And we said, wait a second, shouldn't these things be falling apart? But we start to look at them and say, okay, wait a second, they look like they've been patched together, but they're in great shape. They're well cared for. So that would be our first impression as we're observing from a place, like Wada was saying, Zell. And maybe Wada, you could go through what we're observing, but again, overall, we're seeing that. Wait a second, are they? Is this some sort of? They seem to be doing something together. And maybe at first we say, wait a second, are they coming after us? But it quickly becomes apparent that they're in a rehearsal for a dance and musical show, but they're also very frustrated. Because there's no music, and so they kind of are, that's interesting, they're feeling a bit of how we've been feeling, like each group, but they still have the need to do this rehearsal, even though there's no music. There's people with instruments. I talked about that. There's horns, bagpipes, they can't play the music, and then the dancers are trying to dance, but how are you going to dance? And they're trying to keep time, maybe. Is there anything else? Eventually we'll get to the adventure part, but we know kind of what they're missing. I don't know what else we could observe. Maybe we see someone, I guess this was something we discussed, but it, like returning from work or some of them returning from work. I feel like this is part of these characters are being reserved for something else, some other purpose. And they are left alone where there's other parts of this attraction that they're not a part of. So they're the furthest removed from the day-to-day work, so they're being reserved for some other future purpose. And again, we discussed, are they going to do or are they just left alone? Do they go off for training? Can we see any of them returning from training? Oh yeah, here's the for stage two of Vidul's plan. But we can see that they've been taken care of. And we also had these ideas about them coming to life, but I think, Wada, why don't you take it? Okay, yeah, so we're still in the, we know what we know of our brainstorming, but the idea that there's going to be factions within the ride, and that this is like the special faction, and they view themselves as that way, and they're waiting for their purpose, so they're somewhat pampered. and cared for. Now, of course, they think their purpose is one thing, but Vidul, of course, has something, you know, not positive waiting for them. But also, interestingly enough, what had come up under the surface, because these are sentient conscious beings, they have a sense of Izun and Reef, because they say, well, what's we've seen what's happening with these other groups and the attraction. We've seen Vidul and the power of Vidul, the green. So what, you know, we're not feeling comfortable. And when they, when we're revealed to them, that Reef is going to be powerful, because they're going to say, well, we got to turn them over to Vidul and telling them right away. There's something else they want greatly, which is the first thing or the second thing we observe, other than the conditions, is their actions rehearsing. And as long as we observe enough, we can clearly see that they're rehearsing for performances and that they're traded a frust, but that they're feeling really, they also love it. Like that, like they may have another purpose for Vidul, but this is their purpose. And in some sense, it's like a weird middle world that they're in. Not to go off topic and get too far ahead of us, but that I didn't think about it this way. You know, their world has changed drastically. And again, something we talked about is that maybe part of their sentience. Did we write any of this down? I mean, so the idea that this portal isn't just a portal, it's also a well, like there's a well from our world sitting on it. So this is like, it's beyond our understanding. That's not just an excuse, but that, and this is what Vidul and these other beings that are trying to manipulate Vidul are trying to get to. And that source is a collection of power, not just magical power. But that in the before times, this became where that power was gathered as people changed their states of being to other places. Some of their essence was left behind in a non-sentient form. So this isn't a we're not getting into not reanimation or but anyway, like that's okay. I don't need to remember. Rebirth or whatever you call it. No, they're, this is just like their energy, but maybe has some remnants of that. So maybe it is like that a little bit, but that's been gathered in a pool that's somehow also sitting on top of this portal or something like that. And so the combination of the powers, mostly good powers, leaking out of the portal, combining with this also well of essence, magical spiritual essence, whatever you want to call it, is what create. I mean, this is what we, part of our belief system outside of this game, and that is what like created sentience of the park, and that is why these beings are sentient beings, but they're not old, they're new sentient beings. What's interesting, and I guess you'd say it's mechanical muscle memory, is like they mostly are associated with their characters or their attraction, which I think is like, important for us to learn. Like they've been performing as these characters for so long that, of course, their sentience is going to be a part of that. Granada, do you want to run through the summary again, like, and just do that? Sure. Thank you. So summary. So these are top shape animatronics. They probably this has now become a little more fluid. Like at first we're like, they go out to be repaired or touched up and probably trained. But we're fuzzy on that. I mean, which would be, I don't know. But so the other thing we didn't discuss that they will have to reveal to the party is that sometimes even though they're kind of a troop, a performing troop or a set of performing troops that has learned to perform together, there's some members of their troop that are not, that have gone out for training or whatever and haven't made it back. And also, these are kind of in the realm of no bad ideas. Like, there's rumors of scrap heaps of characters from the rides that have not followed the rules. And also this idea, and I don't know if it's going to be what's reserved for them, but of, like, Voltron. Remember that character from, there was a attraction at this park about it or something, the Panda Force. Remember that it was combined. They had Panda Force. That there's some sort of other toy like that that's very large, and it's a combination of the other toys. I think, but the important fact is if they feel like if they follow the rules, which we would again have to learn through interacting with them after we've observed them, is that they're forced to live, they're allowed to live in this isolation, blocked off from the rest of the ride. They want music. There is a band and dance leader. Originally, we fell on the idea that there'd be no noise and that they could only communicate by motion. But we decided against that, and that just there's no music because we thought that would be kind of hard. Like, are they communicating by telepathically? Because there's a lot to communicate, and it just doesn't seem as fun. Like, if it was just by lip reading and physical motion or drawing or writing, these are the ideas. And then there's still the question of, like, what do they need to make music? But I think we finally found out. It was like, do we have to go get speakers? Is there some sort of magical intervention that has to happen? Do we have to connect them to power? But then we kind of came up with the idea that, their life force has an electric energy to it. And it's also drawing on the energy within the attraction. And that kind of goes to why they can't leave the attraction very far. And that mechanical being that we saw outside the train station is, again, just a projection, a magical projection, and not a real being. So they don't actually, these aren't real, they don't know that the instruments they have are not real. So they don't understand some simple facts. Or maybe, again, talking about what happens beneath the surface, they don't want, they have no desire to understand, that would be pretty confusing to be like, no, you're just a part of a ride, but somehow you became sentient. I guess you would just kind of try to adjust to that if you knew it anyway and move on. So telling them that they're not real instruments, even though their whole makeup is based on them playing the instruments for thousands and thousands of hours a year. Also the fact, I think this is important, and I'm glad that they could be, that happiness is possible for them. And we want to enable, the music will, and they believe that, and actually it's true. Now, they want to, before our arrival, all they wanted to do was gain the music to be happy, like when they're not working for Vidul or waiting to work for Vidul. But now we're in an opportunity to offer them change, but happiness is possible for them. Also, that they have some sort of secret or piece of a secret. So that's, I think, someone wanted to take it from there. Yeah, this is Zell. What if we pretend that we're communicating with them now? Because I know we would have to communicate with them to get information about what do they need. Probably would be rolling to find out, can we persuade them to hold off on do we need to surprise them? And, should we split up and cover the exits? I think so. Did we observe long enough to know where the exit is? Or if there's any secret places where Vidul could observe us? And everybody's nodding. So, and again, there's no DM. So, sure, that's what we'll do. And we'll just presume we're somewhat successful. then some of us with the highest charisma will reveal ourselves. What we want to find out is, hey, we're not here to cause trouble. We're just trying to get some information. Because what do we want as a party? We need to progress to the next room. But obviously the way they're growing and coming is probably observed by Vidul. And I guess this goes to like maybe going to the boy, like I guess this, we didn't even discuss this, but maybe there's something with us being the backup for the Baron of the Boil, that there was some sort of thing within the pumping station or the wave power station that the Baron has assigned us a task like that. So our main tasks are, I think, I don't know why we didn't think of this sooner, but our main tasks are, one, to activate this device that would ever allow the free flow of the water in a more organic way, I would say, because wave pumping stations are still going to need to flood the area, basically. So the park would be flooded, which would protect the power source, but it would also, like, the Baron of the Boil is just mostly interested in the water being able to go. Like, so there must be some sort of device. You know what I mean? That should be our main assignment. Yeah. And then assignment two, just as important, but not as important. Or is it find the Baron, find her son? But then we also have our other agendas. And I think that's important because now, wow, we got lucky with this. So we're establishing a relationship with these sentient beings, the Poliwags. And now, so we're going to want to find an alternative solution, because otherwise it would mean the flooding of the park. Wow, we got really lucky here. So we're already, and maybe that creates a little inter-party tension. And then again, with any NPC parties we will meet in the future, and the Baron's son, that's like, oh, no. Like, even if you were to defeat Vidul, there'll be another power. We must, like, get rid of this pumping station. But the result of getting rid of the pumping station would be that the spark would be flooded. Maybe that goes to, like, what they discovered, like, Leader X or whatever. Like, there's no reason to explore this park. Anyway, it's just flood it. I mean, I guess the Poliwags wouldn't mind, because they'll be fine. And I think that's powerful. Why didn't we not think about that? Because it's like, and it ties into how we, what we believe. We can't let these poor sentient ride beings down that are they're mobile with, but they only can exist in their own area. Well, I'm really grateful. This is a powerful thing we've stumbled on. Can somebody take it? I'm a little stunned. This is Eleanor. Sure. So we kind of came up with some. First we kind of brainstormed different personality traits of different to try to think of what characters we'd be encountering. We also came up with lists of things we could look to later, both of, you know, from the game, of like smaller beings that we could compare stat blocks to, and later on bigger mechanical beings we could compare stat blocks to. We also did a lot of research into these Modrons, which exist in another universe. And I think that was good as far as like it giving us some reference, but not too applicable, because they live in a caste system. Oh, that was the most important thing, is that they're drawing their life force from in return. That was the main thing we got that was already covered, is this well of life force. But they're very, like, logical, where I don't think these beings are going to be as logical and stuck in conformity Oh, yeah, here it is. There's the notes from the earlier. How do we forget this? I guess with everything that's going on. The park has a life force of everyone who is nearby, but they're not ethereal beings. It's just their force now. And that force has been released into the rides and the characters. It has somehow to do with the water, but not the portal, but they're like those things are touching one another. And who wants to do the names that we came up with for the characters in the room? Well, Lord Von Chill, Dog Quixote, whom and Popo Panza, and Popo, but those two are confused. Like, I like this idea. Those two are confused. So, Popo Panza's the leader of the band and the dancers, and Dog Quixote is the sidekick. I just think that's very funny. Like you all think it's funny. And so those two, but so that's the assistant leader of the running the rehearsal are those two. Then we have what does it say? Oh, Bouffant, Buffalo. This will be the main source of trouble when we reveal ourselves. The Bouffant of Buffalo guards, and those are famous in England, you know, that they were in charge of the castle or something. So they will be the main ones. They just listen to the music, and they are actually guards. Flamingo dancers, that was an easy one. Lucky the leprechaun. Oh, leprechaun. So because they had that. Chewy Toy Soldiers Band, or we said Toy Poodles Band. But I think Chewy Toy Soldiers made of chew toys. And like maybe even a Toy Poodles hanging off one of them. But there'll be the band, right? One of the bands, Cat Cant Dancers, of course, Kluckenspiel band, that'll be funny. Bolle ballet dancers. So bulls, I think we've seen this before, but I still like the image of, ballet bulls, bolle ballet dancers, goat yodelers. We never came up with something for bagpiper. And then this character who is a little bit more sentient that we will meet, but we started to brainstorm, Mary Blair Repair. Wada? Okay, so let's get back into game mode. This is really working, is the further we get as characters into this game mode. So we're talking, we calm down the Buffalo guards and say, hey, we're here to help, tell us about what's going on. We were watching you, and we're not, you know, maybe we explained to them that we're from another world. We're not there to mess with them. We even find out, they've got a good thing going. And no, of course, there's going to be one of them that we can't trust that'll like go against us. But for the time being, we find out that we can't proceed the way they come in and out because there's too many of Vidul's real guards. And obviously the other thing we talked about is like that Vidul is going to be so powerful that there's no way a party could face Vidul directly now, but probably even later. And again, that would fit with this great idea that made itself apparent tonight that, we're not even there to battle Vidul. We could, or any party could, but we're there to enact this plan of the Baron of the Boils, find the Baron of the Boils' son and get out. And maybe there's even supposed to be a boat hidden so we can just take the boat down to the Baron of the Boil. And then we said, well, was the boat, you know, with that whole thing with the mist dragon, what happened with the boat? So we talk to all of them and we say, okay, don't worry. We're, and that's the truth. We're not being duplicitous. we're just here. They maybe tell us, oh, yeah, there was another party that came through at some point, and they tried to go through that door. They got caught. I mean, that kind of makes sense. So, okay, well, we can't go through there. How long ago was that? That lines up with the timeline for the Baron of the Boyle. What are you doing? Maybe we even find that out. Oh, no, the Baron of the Boyle, we're draining swamps. Why would be draining swamps? These other things that happened. So maybe we're getting an incomplete picture of what Vidul's up to. There's also some sort of clue that maybe is not apparent at first of like, oh, well, you know, why are you repaired? What happens to characters? Because again, we have to get to this. How do we meet Mary Blair repair? Actually, I thought we came up with a solution later. But basically, we have to get to the point in the negotiations where they say, okay, well, and maybe they ask us if they could be alone to discuss. And they say, well, we do need something. We can't get our musical instruments to work. And Mary Blair Repair went to go find them and said we needed, I think they won't understand, but this Mary Blair Repair, that's one of the people keeping them in everyone in working order. And maybe even Vidul knows about it. I don't know. But and she went to go get a speaker wire, but they will say woodwind. We use woodwinds or whatever. Cause I think that'd be fun. But basically they say, well, we have to play music. It's in our hearts. And maybe they have one wire. Maybe that's how we confirm all this is possible. Or maybe it's been broken and we are able to fix it somehow, but it's only one wire. And then we see that actually when they use it, it activates their speaker and they are able to play their individual instruments. It could make sense from a magical perspective that it's like their speaker is an organ in some sense, you know. And it's like it's not like a mammal like us, where it's like a memory. It has its own mini brain or something connected to the history of the ride. And eventually they could sync it up with the dancing and stuff. I mean, if we're really, no bad ideas, that is possible. So they really want to be able to play this music, and they see it as a win-win. If you go find Mary Blair, we know where she went, and then they explain this idea of chutes. Like each room has a chute that goes down to some of the handy hallways from the other thing we learned about. And they say, well, the only problem with our chute was that Mary Blair was going down this ladder and the ladder went down. So if you could go find Mary Blair or the speaker wires, either one, that would be humongous for us. And we say, okay, we think we could do that if you don't tell Vidul. And then we already know, okay, well, we'll have to figure something else out anyway to progress in the attraction. Maybe it's down there where the handy halls are famous. But maybe there could be one other thing they know. Or they say, maybe they say Mary Blair had a map or something with her. She knows all about the handy halls because she goes in between those things. And maybe, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe there's more than one. Maybe it's not just Mary Blair. I don't know. In the other rooms, there's another repair-based being. So then we find out that on the Big Ben is where, if you go inside the roof of the Big Ben, that's where there's a shaft going down to another level, to the handy halls. Maybe it's for garbage or maintenance access. We don't know. Granada, do you want to take us home? Oh, sure. Thanks. Okay. So we talked about, maybe that's where they used to put the trash, or maybe that's still where they put the trash now. It's a chute to the lower level. It's possible for us to, use ropes in secrecy. And the good thing is it's inside the Big Ben. So if Vidul's minions come, the ride, as long as no one tells on us, which they would be motivated to not tell on us, unless they were setting it, you know, an app, which they could do that. But if we don't return, you know, if we do return with the speaker wires, they might think, okay, glad you gave us the wires. By the way, here's Vidul's minions. That could be possible. That's probably a decent idea that we didn't come up with. Or maybe we do come up with it, like, can we really trust them? But for the time being, we can secretly, only known to the characters on this ride, go down Big Ben to this next level, which would be like a sub-basement Handy Halls level. And then this is where we'd have to try to find the speaker wires, and we still are designing this room, right? But that basically we'll go down there next and then look for Mary Blair, speaker wires, what else we could find. But probably with the anticipation that there's going to be some things we have to avoid. So we did some dexterity checks or whatever. And obviously, I guess I would be going first and testing everything out and saying it's clear. And everybody's coming with me. And we're saying, okay, we want to make sure we can get out. So we'll probably leave a second hidden set of like something to help us come back up. I would use a pulley, but we'll put it down the shaft a little bit so that in case they tell on us, Vidul's team won't see this pulley. I'll hide it so we could still get out. But we get down to this Handy Halls level, and there's a pile of junk of old, some parts of the attraction, speakers, maybe even some speaker wire. As we all get down there, though, then we notice something's happening. Wait, is something happening? We're all getting really tired, and we say, oh, no, there's a surprise down here, a sleep surprise, and we all start to fall asleep. We all roll, and none of our rolls work out, and we fall into a deep, deep slumber. Good night. All right, I want to thank Joanne, Gwen, and Stacy for becoming patrons recently, and Kimberly, Tara, and Theo. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Tyler, A, and Margot. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Jordan, Matt, and Lauren. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Lisa, Jay, and Thomas. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Alex, Infamous, and Tom, thank you, thanks, and good night. Joanne, Tara, and John, thank you, thanks, and good night. PJ, Bob, and Rochelle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody who supports this show directly on Patreon or Apple Podcasts or supports our sponsors, and thanks, everybody who spreads the word and helps grow the podcast. It's been a huge help. I couldn't do it without all of you. And here's a tuck you in sponsor, Scoots. And that's how we've been growed the show to almost 600 free episodes in the archives. Good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.